W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. Today, I'm going to be talking about the murder of Robert Ioane. Robert Ioane was born in September 2020, so it's very, very recent that little boy was born. He was born to parents 28-year-old Mihai Catalin Guli and 35-year-old Gabriella Ioane. He lived with them. And also he lived with his two-year-old sister that's in Mersey Road in Widnes. So essentially living in an archetypal family structure and arguably a new baby at the time that I'm going to be talking about this crime occurring. So the most vulnerable that you will ever be, basically fully reliant on your parents to take care of you and to ensure your safety. I think for anybody who's ever been around a baby, let alone parents of said baby, your direct connection is to protect them. We are, on the whole, pretty much as humans, hardwired to look after the vulnerable. It's in our natures. It's why we have survived for so long. It's also why we like things like cute puppies, because they resonate with us and they make us feel that we want to take care of them. So what we're talking about as far as Robert is concerned is he should be the most doted on as possible at this point in time. And to add to the fact that he was a baby, he also had vulnerabilities. In fact, he was born in a situation where he had to fight right from the start because he was born with Down syndrome, but he also had some associated medical problems with that particular syndrome. As most of you will be aware, when a child is born with Down syndrome, some children fare really, really well. So they may have Down syndrome, but on a health level, they don't face too many big problems and go on to lead very healthy, happy, successful lives. For other babies, when they're born, there are a number of problems that can occur. And unfortunately for Robert, there were some medical problems that he was dealing with. And he actually spent the first few months of life in hospital. So obviously there were some real concerns about him. He was battling a range of medical complications. So his first months were spent safely. You can't get a safer space than being in hospital, making sure all the interventions take place, making sure that you are noted by the medical doctors and nurses, and meaning that your parents who are around you are also recognized and supervised, so to speak. So at this point, we can imagine that Robert's in a really good place. He's gaining strength. Whilst he's still unwell, he's in a place where thriving is possible. Although we can agree that as parents, it can also be deeply frustrating when a child is in hospital. You just want to get them home, even though it can be scary when they've not been very well. So it would cause an emotional response in both the parents. He's actually only allowed to go home with his parents just before Christmas in 2020. And when people who knew Robert talk about how he acted as a baby, he was described as really happy. And his mother's close family in particular were really, really loving towards him. He was adored by them and he was considered a really wonderful addition to the family. So certainly provoking a really positive response from the wider family network. And I'm also going to put in here the recognition that for some parents, when you have a child and that child isn't born in a typical context, i.e. they have other needs, it can be really upsetting. And I don't think it's fair to just skip over the idea that somebody who has a child with needs is going to automatically find their feet. It's going to be challenging. Some people do. I know friends who, for example, have had children with Downs and genuinely credit that moment of meeting their Down syndrome child as being the happiest moment of their lives because it literally changed their lives for the better on every single level, such as being told that they never understood love until they met their Down syndrome child. And now literally their life and world is dripping in love. But for many others, there's a grief process psychologically. And I think we can all be aware that that's entirely natural. So when it comes down to Robert's parents, it would not surprise me if they were having teething problems settling in to having a child who may have additional needs and affording them some sympathy and empathy because they may have found that challenging. But certainly when it comes down to the mother's close-knit family, he was just a blessing. Simple as that. Easiest way to say it. Robert was a blessing. Now, as I've mentioned, Robert needed to have some specialised medical intervention, and part of this was quite a rigid feeding routine. So he had a very regular feeding day and night routine because of his needs. And when he was fed, he would either be fed with a bottle or he'd also have the potential of being fed by an EPG tube. So that's something that's arrived through an endoscopic medical procedure where a tube is basically passed into the baby's stomach and it goes through the abdominal wall. And that's clearly so that the child can thrive, make sure that they get the right amount of nutrients if they're struggling to feed in other ways. The couple had also been told something very, very important. They were told that he needed to be handled with immense care. In fact, they were told that they needed to treat him as if he was made of porcelain. Anybody out there who's had a child, if you are told when they are a baby to treat them as porcelain, the vast majority of us would bubble wrap them. Literally. Bubble wrap them and carry them around constantly and probably not move fast in any direction. We would place them very gently in areas where they could not fall. This is just normal protective parental behavior. So be aware of that. If you're being told treat your baby like porcelain, why? It's because they have a bigger potential of breaking. They will have used that particular comparison because they're letting the parents know there are some really fragile issues around your child's health and you need to maintain a level of care that treats them accordingly. All this being said, one of the things that was noted by health visitors early on when they visited Robert at home was that he appeared to be well cared for, he was developing well, and he was also interacting with his parents. He seemed happy, bright and alert, and they are really key indicators of a child that's doing well. That's what the health visitor is looking for, to make sure the child seems at peace, seems to be engaging with the world around them, and of course, seems to be comfortable around the parents. So they are the early reports, according to health visitors, around how Robert is doing at home. So the health visitors don't see anything notable or disturbing about the environment that this little boy is living in or the parents' attitude towards him. And by all accounts, it seems that his dad, Gooley, worked really hard to support the family, basically had two jobs. That's during the day, so he's willing to put in the hours. And he was also responsible most of the time for Robert's night feeds because his wife struggled to set up the equipment. So when you were observing that, you can say that this seems to be a parent who's relatively devoted to the child because he's working hard to bring in an income. And of course, he's being present at a time where his wife struggles to be present. That's noted. It seems like there was another side to him. And when you look at Gooley's history, it's really disturbing. There are so many red flags that it's shocking that he ever got to even have the opportunity, in my opinion, to be potentially around a woman and child. So Gooley and Ion immigrated from Romania to Widnes in 2019. It seems like they had a really volatile relationship. And I'm not saying it was simply from Guli's side. I'm saying that as a couple, they were incredibly volatile. Neighbours who knew them said there were frequent arguments. They were very loud. And so they would often hear the couple having violent rows, so to speak. That means that we have Robert and his sister who are living in this very aggressive environment, which is terrible for children. I appreciate that every parent may at times wobble and shout at a child or shout at a partner, but it's not ideal. Children like peaceful environments, not simply because it means there is harmony in the home, but because when they hear rowing and fighting, it distorts their sense of security and it makes them question whether they are safe. So the least amount of shouting that is possible in a household is the best outcome for children. We see this psychologically. This is not just my opinion. This is based in absolute research. In fact, if you want to know another thing that's based in research that is really important, it's that we should not hit kids either. In fact, every piece of psychological doctrine, so to speak, evidences that no good comes of it. In fact, you are likely to get a more detrimental impact on children's behavior. So arguably, while shouting isn't physical, it still undermines the sanctity and security and safety of the home, and in fact of the primary caregivers that children are meant to look to for support and safety. But Robert and his sister are growing up in this aggressive environment, and you can imagine for a baby in particular, that's going to be really terrifying because of the fact that they've gone from the safety of the womb to a completely foreign world, and then a world that doesn't in any way, shape or form reflect the safety that they've endured for the 9 months prior to that. So neighbours say there was a lot of rowing and there were confrontations that they really heard. And during those confrontations, they would hear babies screaming and a little girl crying. So we can see that the children are present and aware of what's going on in that house. They also said there was a notable increase in the types of arguments and the level of volume within those arguments when Robert arrived. Totally normal when a new baby enters any environment that stress levels will rise to some degree. One, you are in charge of a whole new life and making sure that they are safe. Two, you have no sleep. Three, often you look at your partner if you've got one and think, they don't do as much as me. And I don't think I like them very much anymore. Four, you kind of feel like the responsibilities of the world is suddenly on your shoulder. And I could keep going with my points, but you catch my drift. Bringing a baby into any situation is going to escalate the potential for arguments, stress, sadness, emotional breakdowns, all of those things. They also introduce a whole world of joy. Don't think I'm trying to put you off babies. I think they are the best thing that were ever invented. Children are definitely the best thing that were ever invented. But there is a level of stress that's exacerbated when a child enters a home. So it's not unusual that you will see situations that are already problematic start to really unravel. Also, it seems that the family was struggling a little bit with debt. And this is to do with the fact that Robert needs care through the hospital. So obviously they're having to take him to and fro the hospital so that he can have his treatment. That's really important. And again, that's concerning. Listen, money is probably the number one stressor in anybody's life. And whilst people would like to say money doesn't buy you happiness, it really doesn't. But money can make difficult times more bearable because, you know, you can eat, you can pay your bills, and you're not going to get thrown out of your house. That definitely reduces stress levels in comparison to people who don't have those things around them. So debt will undoubtedly provoke arguments, cause stresses and strains, and see couples fight. It's very normal for people to deal with things in a really negative way when they're struggling because you're looking for a place to project your pain. Simple as that. Also, down the line, both parents would actually admit administering corporal punishment to their 2-year-old daughter. She was 2 when they admitted to doing this. 2. How does anybody get angry with a 2-year-old? It blows my mind. And they actually had a wooden spoon that they used to hit her with. A wooden spoon. She was 2. How could anybody want to take a wooden object and hit a little toddler with it? As far as I'm concerned, you've lost me at that point. That's domestic abuse. And that's something that should be in a whole category of its own. Because if you're willing to beat a tiny child of 2 years old with a wooden spoon, then you both have serious potential. And the reasons that they would use, excuse-wise, to beat said child is if she was cheeky or if she didn't want her nappy changing. How many of us in this world have acknowledged a child of 2 being cheeky? I mean, you can call...
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Call a child cheeky in a positive way. Oh, they're being a bit cheeky. But at 2, the kid does not have the consciousness of the ability to manipulate a scenario using cheekiness. It just isn't within their makeup. So they are putting adult perspectives and perceptions onto a baby, and they're doing it in a wholly inappropriate way. And it's important to note that, because if somebody wishes to behave in an inappropriate way, often what they will do is seek reasoning for it. And that reasoning will then support their belief that they have a right to go ahead and carry out a certain behavior. So even though we all know it's impossible for a little 2-year-old kid to be knowingly cheeky, if you want to find an opportunity to be violent, to discipline in a harsh way, then you bet your bottom dollar you can create some kind of scenario where the behavior, in your opinion, falls into that category and you're just using it as an excuse. Another reason that they would give for hitting her with this spoon was if she didn't want her nappy changing. Excessive isn't the word here. Like, if a child really doesn't want their nappy changing, unless it's desperate and they've got some horrific nappy rash, if they just want to watch the show on TV or they want to play the Lego or they want to carry on drawing, then in their mind, that's more important. If you just want to kind of create a collaboration with them so they get to finish a little bit of it before you then agree to change the nappy, that's on you as a parent to find that collaborative approach. The idea that you're going to beat a child with a wooden spoon because they didn't want the nappy changing is fundamentally abusive, per se, abusive. Also, as a dad, Ghoulie had a really quick, fierce temper. He'd had a history of violence. And in fact, that violence wasn't, in my opinion, small fry. He'd been previously charged with domestic violence offences. This was against a former partner in the Czech Republic. And it wasn't just one offence. There were multiple offences, and these were between December 2014 and March 2015. So on the 22nd of December 2014, he punched his partner in the eye, and it was a punch that was serious enough to cause the skin to break, causing a wound that needed stitches. That's some impact. Then on the 9th of February 2015, Well, he asks for some money from his partner. She then, at this point, refuses, and his response to that is he kicked her and threatened to stab her. Reasonable? A reasonable thing to do? Can I have some money? No, sorry, I haven't got very many. I'm going to kick you, and then I'm going to threaten to stab you, because you're not giving me your money. 6th of March 2015, he breaks into his partner's home, physically assaults her by punching her in the head, kicks her in the arm, in front of her two children. I know, he's really endearing himself to you right now, isn't he? Sounds like a dreamboat. 8th of March 2015, threatens to slit his partner's throat because she's called the police. Wonder why she called the police, Ghoulie. Could it be that you literally threatened to kill her in front of her children? I'm wildly throwing it out there as a potential possibility. Maybe you could explore that. However, he wasn't actually in the country when the case went to trial, so he was convicted in his absence. That's in December 2017, where he was sentenced to 8 months in prison, suspended for 18 months, and he was also deported from the country for 5 years. So, in my opinion, wasn't really a harsh sentence, but obviously the fact that they would have, if he'd been in the country, have deported him for at least 5 years, then at least he wouldn't have had access to that poor woman. Also worth noting that Ghoulie always denied the allegations. In fact, he didn't just deny them. He was like, well, I don't just deny them. The point is, I never had a chance to participate in my trial and to challenge the evidence that the victim was giving. You're like, no, you weren't. But you could have been. You just needed to stay for the trial. I mean, is it just me that thinks maybe a very innocent man who wants to defend his honour would just have stayed for the trial? Because I always kind of think that the guy who gets accused of punching and threatening to kill his ex, who then just like flees the country, potentially looks a little guilty. A little bit like when people say no comment. A little bit on the guilty side there. Anyway, that denotes the prior behaviour. And for me, when you are looking at somebody who is willing not just to be violent to a partner, as in to wound her in a way where she needs stitches, but actually to be willing to create a home invasion where he threatens to kill her in front of kids and harms her, that is really terrifying behaviour. That is the kind of behaviour that I have covered in previous videos where women have ended up dead. So when you think about this mindset, living with a child with serious needs, and where you're thinking about the stress levels in the household being pretty big, then that's disturbing to imagine. It's not a perfect recipe for peace and harmony, is it? And with respect, we also know that Ghoulie's quite happy to beat a two-year-old with a spoon. So our MO with this guy is he likes to use violence. Whenever he's struggling, whenever he wants something, he uses it. Despite Robert being only a few months old and despite him having serious health complications, and remember, what did the doctors tell us? He needed to be treated like porcelain. In spite of this, he also became a target of his father's aggression. So Ghoulie now knows that there is a child in his presence. He's meant to be a loving father. This child has got all of these needs, and his one job is to make sure that he is treated like a fragile object. And in spite of knowing this, he starts becoming violent with him. Now, I am the first person to acknowledge that psychologically you are going to be exhausted if you're working two jobs. You've got a disabled child to look after. You're up at the night doing the feeds, making sure that the child's equipment is clean, making sure that the child is being nourished. It's going to be hard work. But there is nothing on God's earth that justifies harming a child. And this isn't just a typical child even, and that is reprehensible, is illegal, is unforgivable. But add to that, we're talking about a child who's vulnerable, a child like Robert. What's really difficult about these cases is that at this point, when I start talking about the way that Gurley starts to treat Robert, we have a mother living in the household. It's the duty of a parent per se to absolutely protect and dote on a child at all other costs. But to imagine that there is a mother present who sees what is happening to her son, to her vulnerable, fragile baby, and to allow it to play out, that is almost impossible for me to imagine. I can completely understand when women are in domestically violent situations that they put up with things they should never put up with. And it's usually about them being harmed, and they allow these things to play out because they don't have value for themselves. But what we see in domestic abuse scenarios is when a parent, when a mother in particular, sees the other parent be violent towards a child, it triggers something in them. It's like, you can harm me, but you can't harm a baby. And that's often the trigger for why they leave. But in this case, we have a little baby with Down syndrome and other related medical conditions because of that situation being aggressed by a grown man. And she's just standing by. Robert was not able to rely on his mother for protection. And it's even worse than that. She would literally take every opportunity to just cover up his actions, which is mind-blowing. Not only would she know he was doing it, she would try to create scenarios where his abuse would be undiscovered. On the 7th of February 2021, Ione witnessed her husband grab Robert by the chest. She witnessed him forcibly shake him, and then slam him into his car. A lot of you will have heard of cases of shaken baby syndrome. This is where a child is shaken and it causes irreparable damage to the brain. And it's often compared to a child being in a serious car crash. It's one of the things that they will look for when a child is either in a situation where they've died or where a child has had serious bleed on the brain and other things like rib fractures and so on and so forth. So this is known as a big issue in child abuse, and they look for it because, of course, babies are usually very protected. When they have injuries, it's unusual. But the fact that she sees this baby who's meant to be treated like porcelain, shaken and then slammed into his cot, what's her reaction? Does she call the police? Does she call the ambulance? Does she call a friend, a family member? What does she do to make sure that this little baby is at least safe enough to not put in hospital? Well, she goes online and she literally searches for the best ways to hide the signs of abuse. Yeah, she's not in a state of denial here. She's not trying to say to herself, oh, that didn't really happen. I didn't really see that. She's literally online figuring out, how do I hide this? And what she discovers gives her the idea to apply an onion on Robert's bottom and to apply toothpaste to bruising on his face. Actually, I have heard of the toothpaste one. Anybody who was young in the 80s and may have got into scenarios where people gave you a hickey on your neck, a love bite, they were trendy, weren't they? They didn't look like some kind of horrific infection that you should not want to show to the world at all. But nonetheless, they were kind of popular for a while. If you put toothpaste on it, the whole wives' tale was it would just take it down. It didn't. That's all I'm saying. Didn't work for hickeys. But I understand where that kind of stuff comes from. But this is what she's doing. She's not dealing with the potential harm that her child has suffered. All she's thinking about is covering it up. And at this point, she has no idea what's happened to Robert. She doesn't know how badly injured he is. The true extent of Robert's injuries will become apparent later on. But at this moment in time, she just cares about saving her and her partner's skin. Now, after this serious assault happened on Robert, it turns out that Eon did actually feel that she needed to have a conversation with somebody within the family unit about Guley's behaviour. So she speaks to her husband's brother, and she hopes that that conversation is going to translate to Guley, and it's going to mean that he stops that behaviour. I mean, yeah, that'll be the antidote, won't it? I mean, it's always those things, isn't it? Just have a word with the domestic abuser. He'll be fine after that. I mean, could you imagine if that was how the world worked? Could you stop beating your wife? Oh, I'd not thought about that. Yeah, I'll stop beating my wife. Could you stop hitting your kid? It's not good for them. Fair enough. I'll adjust my behaviour accordingly. Said no abuser ever. But she obviously is concerned, but as opposed to actually doing what could protect her son, she just allows this to continue. So whether that conversation even occurs, I don't know. But certainly the indication, as far as Eon is concerned, is that she has tried to get him to change his behaviour. So what do we know about that? She's aware of how dangerous it is. She's aware of the damage that he could do to his child and children, in fact. She knows his potential. Does she walk out? Does she ask for help? Does she go to a hostel where there is a refuge for women? No. She just carries on. It's really soon after she's asked for that conversation to play out that the abuse continues. And within that system of abuse that plays out, Eon does nothing to protect her son. Nothing to get him help. She just carries on covering for her husband, which is terrifying and chilling to imagine that this.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
A baby boy, completely helpless, unable to ask for help, unable to be protected by anyone other than the people who are harming him. He has no power in that situation. That's what makes it so dreadful. And if it's not bad enough that she's recognised that there's been injury, hence why she's been getting the onion, so to speak, and putting the toothpaste on the bruising, she does nothing else to get him treated. She doesn't even go to a general practitioner's, turn up at the local doctor's and kind of ask to have the once over. So she's not either taking it seriously on one level. Secondly, she might be wishfully thinking it's all going to be okay. Or I suppose third, she's willfully aware of what's happened and she's just hoping this kid's going to heal and no one's going to notice. So Robert clearly has injuries, as I've said. He's been shaken forcibly and he's been slammed into a bed. And she even notices that he's whinging on one side when she carries him. Really? What a surprise. What a surprise that this baby, who's meant to be treated like porcelain, who's literally been violently assaulted, is whinging a little bit. What does that tell you about what's happening to him? Now, if she had actually taken a moment to just go and seek medical help at this stage, well, at that point, they'd have been able to see that there was injuries that were clearly happening in the home. They'd have been discovered. Likelihood would have been that social services would have been informed, that have stepped in. And basically, Robert would have been saved. They would have been aware that this child was in danger, and it would either have changed his father's behavior towards him because there would have been supervision, or he'd have been removed. Instead, because she refused to do anything about that, she refused to take him to hospital, she refused to ask for help, the abuse was just allowed to continue. Eon witnessed her husband being really violent towards Robert, not just on the occasion I've discussed so far. She once saw him pick Robert out of a pram and then forcibly throw him onto a couch. I'm talking about a baby. A tiny baby. And I'm not just talking about somebody getting a child out of a pram and just like putting it down on a couch without really care and consideration. I'm talking about physically throwing a baby onto a couch. The impact of that would be dangerous for any child. It's a horrific treatment of any baby, and particularly one that we're talking about right now, which is a very vulnerable baby. On the 18th of February, 2021, Guli had basically spent the morning emailing Citizens Advice Bureau. The reason for that was when Robert was in hospital, the family were having daily trips to and from the hospital to make sure that they were with Robert. And this had amounted to a cost of £4,000, which is a lot of money. Anybody who's owed £4,000 is going to want to get the cash back, simple as. And I can imagine that if Guli isn't getting a lot of joy in managing to get the money, he's probably feeling deeply resentful of the situation. Can't take that out of Citizens Advice Bureau, but may feel that Robert, who is, as far as he is concerned, the reason for that debt, might place him in the line of fire, so to speak. On that particular day, Robert was alert, and aside from those injuries that I've talked about before, he was relatively healthy. There wasn't anything else that stood out on that particular day, according to Ian. So Ian takes her daughter to the shops to get some sweets, and the period of time that she's out is 5 minutes. Just goes to the shop to get some sweets for her daughter. In between that and her return, in between seeing Robert alert and happy, he's now lifeless, totally lifeless. Guli also tells her that Robert appears to be unwell, lifeless, literally, is how Robert was. So at this point, they panic to some degree, and they start splashing water on his face, tapping him on the back in an attempt to revive him. And you can imagine for Ian, this is scary. In spite of their attempts to revive him, he's still unresponsive. So then Guli decides that they need to get an ambulance, but they don't speak English. So Guli asks a friend to call an ambulance for them. And the thing is, whilst I'm going to go through the injuries shortly, what Robert did during that 5 minutes, that little window that he had with Robert, no one necessarily knows, because he denies all responsibility of what plays out. But I think we can all agree that in that 5 minutes, Robert had been assaulted again by his father. So 1:05 p.m., the police are advised that Robert's become unresponsive at his home, so emergency services are soon there. They attend the property in Mersey Road, and come on, these are professionals. They can tell when a child's been critically injured. They note that he's lying on the sofa. There's no signs of life. The paramedics end up administering 6 minutes of CPR. At this point, they rush him to the hospital. They're basically desperate to save his life. They place him in an induced coma because they need to stabilize him. So just imagine what's playing out now. Imagine the fact that Robert is critically ill. He's now being put into an induced coma. It's a life and death situation. How are his parents going to act? Well, you would imagine that they would be hysterical, right? Absolutely hysterical. Because either way, it could be that Guli is about to recognize that the actions he's taken have caused immeasurable harm to his son. Or if he's innocent, well, he's going to be beside himself, because at the end of the day, your child is in hospital being put in an induced coma, potentially with his life under threat. You're not going to be on the computer having a chat with Citizens Advice Bureau, are you? But that's exactly what he was doing, yeah? He just carried on his email conversation with Citizens Advice Bureau because they'd replied back to him. And at this point, he even additionalizes the fact that Robert's in hospital again and that he went breathless and was about to die. I find that so odd. That firstly, the obvious oddness is the fact that he's just carrying on a conversation about money with Citizens Advice Bureau. But the other side of it is that obviously we see the disassociation from actually the child who's very, very ill that he should be caring about. He's clearly not concerned about that. And then on top of that, he's almost using the situation that's playing out as an emotive issue. So to actually tell Citizens Advice Bureau, I need the money and my child is maybe dying. And I find that highly manipulative and very egocentric. It's all about getting what he wants and he's not at all concerned about his child. So Ghoulie is acting completely differently than a father should in these kind of circumstances. And when you think about Eon, when she arrives at hospital, she should be absolutely desperate. And her main priority and prerogative is surely to let the doctors and the social workers know what's been happening behind closed doors. She knows exactly what's played out. She knows that Ghoulie has attacked Robert before. She understands that she went out and came back and a happy, healthy little boy who seemingly at least appeared okay was completely lifeless. And the only common denominator in this situation is Ghoulie having access to him and managing potentially to have done something critical to his son. It's obvious to anybody who's listening to this right now that Robert had been assaulted in a fit of rage by his father. And I think we will all probably be able to manifest an understanding of what was happening. He was really frustrated that Citizens Advice Bureau weren't giving him the money or weren't replying to him instantly. And he decided it was Robert's fault. And that's where he projected his anger on a completely vulnerable, helpless child. So instead of doing this and telling the social workers and doctors what's happened, she just lies. She just covers up again. This is what, in my opinion, makes her as bad as him. Because it's her job to be the voice of her child. That's your role as a mother. To be the voice of your child when they do not have a voice. Same for fathers. The fact that she is absolutely silencing this situation. And in fact, instead, she takes along a toy and just claims that Robert somehow hurt himself with it. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. We often see very small children just picking up toys and assaulting themselves with it. I mean, that is just the realm of fantasy. But she's even concocting a cover story for him. I mean, it wouldn't be as bad to some degree if she just shut up and said nothing. But the fact that she's literally trying to create an opportunity where they can create a ruse that's meant to pull the wool over the eyes of the doctors, not that they ever would do, but that shows you that she is part of this. She's manipulating this situation. She wants Ghoulie to get away with it. And she wants to get away with it. She even goes as far as to say that Ghoulie is a good and caring father. This is while her little boy is dying. I also realise that men and women who are violent perpetrators can at times be good and caring. So I'm sure that she is talking about Ghoulie on his best day. On his best day, he's not a violent offender. He's actually a good and caring father. But yeah, on the other days, he's a violent offender. But she just covers it for him and she acts like their family is perfectly well adjusted. Tragically, the doctors were not able to save Robert, and when they did an assessment of his injuries, wow, it was awful. So they established that he suffered a non-survivable brain injury and that had caused him such catastrophic impact that he died 3 days later in hospital on the 21st of February 2021. He was 6 months old. 6 months old. Didn't have a chance. Life snuffed out within weeks, essentially, of being brought into this world. The police then launch a murder investigation because it's clear to them that foul play has occurred. Ghoulie and Eon were both initially arrested on suspicion of Robert's murder. Not surprising, because whichever one of them has done it, the other one's covering up for them, right? That's clear by what's been happening when reports are being given to the hospital. So as the investigation progresses, they eventually charge Gulley with Robert's murder. Ian is charged with an offence under Section 5 of the Domestic Violence Crime and Victims Act 2004. So this particular charge is because the police suspected that she allowed Robert's death by failing to take reasonable steps to protect him from harm. So by proxy, he died, essentially. The autopsy, wow, what that revealed was just the full extent of the violence that Robert suffered at the hands of his own father. They found that the six-month-old had suffered a catastrophic injury to his head, to his spine and eyes. And that's described as the classic triad of injuries, which is associated with non-accidental head injury. It's what I was talking about before. It used to be referred to as shaken baby syndrome. Also, his skull had been fractured, and the trauma to Robert's eyes was really severe. Now, typically in cases like this, there is retinal hemorrhaging, which is bleeding in the eyes. His head had also probably impacted when he was being shaken, so he probably hit something when he was being shaken. And that assault had caused huge internal bleeding, also overstretching of vulnerable structures inside Robert's brain and spinal cord, because obviously when you're shaking a little baby, then stretching of all those areas is occurring, and that caused irreversible brain damage. It was an injury impossible to survive, and that had quickly led to a heart attack. I mean, can you just think for a second about the amount of gratuitous violence that took place in that injury? To shake a baby with such force that you're literally stretching the columns and cords within them, and you're also causing them such a violent impact that essentially it's impossible for the brain to survive. And that's before we talk about the fact that he probably hit an object during that attack. Also, they were able to establish that Robert had suffered other injuries. So 2 weeks before his death, they found that he would have sustained rib fractures and a head injury as well. So he'd also had a prior bleed on the brain. Again, classic sign of being forcibly shaken. Now, as part of the investigation, investigators basically take away mobile technology, they explore call logs, they explore search logs, and what they find are text messages between Ian and Gulley, together with various internet searches that she'd actually made on the 7th of February 2021. And of course, they gave us an indication of how those previous injuries had been caused. So during questioning now, because obviously the evidence is mounting up, shall we say, Ian then decides that it's best to come clean, at least with what she'd seen that particular day, that they have all these call and search logs about. She says that her husband had grabbed Robert by the chest. He'd forcibly shaken him. He'd even slammed him into the cot. She then admits that she did search online because she wanted to find ways of removing the bruising. But remember, she doesn't want to act like she wants to remove the bruising because she's trying to create a cover story for a bloke. No, she comes up with a story that she wants to remove the bruising for her son's benefit. She wants to put onion on it. And she wants to put toothpaste on it because, you know, she's such a good mother. As opposed to just going to the doctors, calling 111, you know, just doing normal stuff that mothers do if they think the kid might have been injured by some horrifically heinous predator. But who am I to suggest such logic? Obviously, onions, first choice, most of the time. Car crash, where are the onions? Serious fall, bring out the toothpaste. It's what Oral B's known for, isn't it? Anyway, this is clearly her concocting a story of how she's somehow innocent in all this. At the end of the day, the reason that she was likely doing that at home, trying to bring down the bruising herself, is because she actually had Robert's immunization shots coming up shortly after. She wouldn't want the health worker seeing his bruises. That's the likely explanation. I think a small minority of women who find themselves in domestically abusive situations and see their child being harmed by a perpetrator in their home, they find it difficult to ask for help because they worry about the consequences of asking for that help to stop the abuse towards their kids, because often they are under threat. They feel that their life may be ended, that their children's lives may be ended. They believe their partners when they tell them they won't be believed. And there are all these reasons why people stay in less than perfect situations. And whilst we have every sympathy and empathy for those individuals, it's also worth noting that Eon isn't that kind of person. She isn't in a scenario where it seems that he's been constantly threatening her, being very violent towards her. This seems more somebody making a decision that makes her look better when she's in court. She wants to save her own skin, shall we say. She starts claiming to the police that she's been in the scenario where she's been too afraid to leave and she's been too afraid to say anything about the horrible abuse playing out towards her child. And that is her defense, essentially. But arguably, I think we can all agree that this is just her clutching at straws and trying to make herself look better in a circumstance that isn't looking good for her. However, according to her own later testimony, whilst Gulli may well have acted pretty horribly towards her on many occasions, you know, he had been verbally abusive, she actually said that he was only ever violent once. It's also noted that she was also equally as aggressive and equally as vocal during arguments. So this suggested to the police that she definitely wasn't living in fear of him, at least not to the extent that she claimed. What I will say is we do have Gulli's history, and he seems like a horrific perpetrator. He threatened to kill an ex. He broke into an ex's home. He was violent towards an ex, causing her stitches. This is not a nice man. I do not doubt that Eon was not living in a perfect scenario or situation. But what we have to ask ourselves is, could she have done more to protect her child? Did she contribute to the death of her child? And it's a resounding yes, isn't it? Because she did have a hell of a lot of opportunity to report the abuse and to get help. She could have told her health visitors. She had a really close-knit, really supportive family who loved Robert, who welcomed him into their brood. She did nothing. And she wasn't afraid of talking to people about Gulli, because we know that she spoke to his brother, who she asked to stage.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Some kind of intervention. So it seems to me that the big problem in this situation is that she was more concerned about her relationship with Gulli than she was the welfare of her own child. You won't be surprised to know that when it came down to the interrogation of Gulli, he was like, I did nothing. What is it about people who are banged to rights and they just think, if I say I did nothing, it'll all be fine, everyone will believe me? But he basically just denies ever assaulting Robert. He denies throwing him on the bed. Of course, he says he loved his son. He would never hurt him. And in fact, you were like this. He claimed to have handled Robert like a jewel. There's a bit of me right now that's probably going where you're going as well. You want to go, you weren't told to handle him like a jewel. You were told to handle him like porcelain. Anybody who has a jewel, such as, shall we say, an amethyst or a diamond, they are shiny and very lovely. But if you throw them at a wall, they're going to be in one piece. You take your porcelain cup, you throw that at a wall, it's going to be in a million pieces. So even the use of jewel is incorrect. Sorry to just pull that. I know it's not a big one. Maybe it didn't even need to be mentioned. But if we're going to use a specific description, you don't say jewel. Throw a jewel at somebody's head. It will hurt them. They're hard. And they are very, very resilient. Fragile is what porcelain is. But anyway, he's trying to give this insight into the way that he is as a dad. And he's very loving, clearly. And he treats this little baby like he's really precious. However, he did later say that about a month before Robert's death, he did hit him. He said, one little slap I gave him on the bum. But I didn't shake or throw him in bed. I always find that really telling. When somebody's denied everything and then starts to give tiny fragments of truth instantly, you know the person is trying to claim a small amount of responsibility to act as if they are telling the truth. But the reality is, a truthful person is truthful because they have nothing to hide from the get-go. If you don't think you've done anything wrong, there is absolutely no reason to think that it's not completely acceptable to tell somebody about your behavior. The fact that Ghoulie hasn't and then tries to just kind of like edge in, oh, well, there was just this one occasion, pangs of guilt. At a later hearing, both Ghoulie and Eon actually plead not guilty. Not guilty to the charges that have been laid against them. These are parents who had a child in hospital who was perfectly well, took him home. He got catastrophic injuries, so catastrophic that he died and had prior injuries that were starting to heal weeks before he died. And yet it just kind of happened when he was on the couch by himself. But that's what they do. Cases obviously proceed to trial. They're both remanded in custody, which means that the authorities thought if we let these leave custody, chances are they're going to leave the country. That's what it meant. They didn't trust them to be walking the streets. They didn't think they would stay around to face any trial. So October 2021, the trial commences at Liverpool Crown Court. Ghoulie, who gave evidence all the time through an interpreter, of course, because he didn't have good English, well, just maintains his innocence, denies hurting Robert, and actually concocts this story where he says he noticed that Robert had turned yellow and stopped breathing while sitting with him on the sofa and watching TV. That seems like an appropriate alibi. So he tells the court this. I don't know what happened to him. I was watching TV and when I stood up, he was yellow in the face and breathless. I didn't even touch him or put my hands on him. Really? Really, Ghoulie? I'm imagining that the jury were finding that a very convincing story. I don't know why I'm just not going to stop right now and start suggesting that you need some kind of innocence project intervention right here, right now, because you're obviously an innocent man with such a stand-up story there. However, in spite of the fact that they're saying they're completely innocent and they're concocting these amazing, amazing, bland, in fact, alibis, whilst they've been on remand, they've obviously had access to telephones, yeah? One of the things about having telephones and access to them is you never quite know who is listening or who's recording them. So the best thing is not to have conversations about potential crimes that you might be implicated within. And it seems that during this period of time, they've made several incriminating phone calls. So the 4th of April, 2021, Yon tells a sister her husband had been shaking and beating Robert. This is contrary, of course, to what she'd told hospital staff and police, which means that she was knowingly covering up for him back then. She also referred to applying toothpaste to the bruises because she wanted to try to cover them up. Another phone call on the 5th of April where Gooley mentions in a cell phone call about basically taking the blame, even though, of course, he said he was innocent. So literally that's what he said, that he'd take the blame even though he was innocent. So she would get out of prison to look after their 2-year-old daughter. What a hero. On another call on the 11th of April, Ion admits that Robert was basically really helpless, that she didn't defend him. And the reason on this phone call that she gives to that is because she was in fear of Gooley. She also said that she genuinely didn't know that Robert was so ill. Struggling to believe that. Never mind. Remember, she said he used to wince when she carried him on one side, so I'm not really going to believe that, but nonetheless, that's what happens. On the 12th of April, this is during a call, Gooley stated, "I already told you, I slapped him once on the bottom, and indeed, I thrown him on the pillows." However, remember, he previously denied ever throwing Robert. So this incremental admission, just little bits getting out that clearly denotes that one, Gooley's violent, and secondly, Ion is somebody who has disregarded the care of her child in favour of protecting a partner. Now, ultimately, those calls, well, they proved that Gooley had been violent towards Robert on previous occasions. That was contrary to what he told the police, so it clearly showed that he was lying. And, of course, those phone calls demonstrated that Ion was absolutely aware of the assaults against her son. That was contrary to what she told the police. When this evidence was presented in court and put to Gooley, he actually became relatively upset and he stated this, "As if the devil possessed me. I don't know what happened to me at that time. As if the devil entered inside me." And then he admitted to gently slapping Robert on the bottom and dropping him from a short height onto pillows. Claimed that he was frustrated, that he was tired because Robert was non-stop crying. He also admitted that on an occasion he'd actually pushed Ion violently, and that was because she hadn't cooked his dinner when he returned from work. I will also have it noted that he kind of thought that that was reasonable and acceptable behaviour. "I didn't cook your dinner, so you just violently have a go at me." It would be carnage in my home if that's how things were meant to run. I'm sure a lot of us would feel the same out there. But again, what is it telling you about this man's psychology? He believes that if somebody doesn't do things his way, or if he doesn't get his own way, he can bully them or assault them or harm them or threaten them. So this is a dangerous man. And given his history, it is actually difficult to believe that it was just an isolated incident of domestic violence during their marriage. I really believe that. Don't get me wrong, I completely believe that Ion was party to her child's death. But what I'm trying to say here is, in spite of the fact that she gave as good as she got, according to what people said about this relationship, arguably, when we think about his history and his violence, and we know that she's female, which makes her absolutely not a contender as far as being able to match up to him, it does make you think that she was living in a very less than perfect situation. That noted, there are no excuses for what she allowed to happen. Also, he does admit in court that he'd slapped his daughter's bottom on one occasion. What's really telling as well about the way he describes the violence towards Robert is that he seems to suggest that you just would lightly hit a child on the bottom and drop them from a short height. That's not how that kind of behavior ever plays out. If you've got to a situation and circumstance where you're so frustrated that you actually physically want to throw or drop a baby, it's not because you're mildly upset. It's because you are raging. You want to take out your anger and you want to do it in a way that satisfies you. That means you are going to do it in a very aggressive manner. There is no lightly dropping a baby. There is no lightly spanking him at this moment in time. He is pissed and he wants to harm this child, and that's what he does. Also, when in court, Ian accuses her husband of causing the fatal injuries while she's actually out. So she says, you know, I wasn't even present when my child was badly harmed. She said that she very much lived in fear of him and that she hadn't foreseen this fatal attack that played out. Gurley, however, denies that he actually even has a bad temper or loses it very easily. He actually says that him and his wife had a really good relationship, that they rarely argued. I'm a really nice guy. I only occasionally threaten to kill people. I'm a really good husband. I'm peaceful. I only occasionally home invade places that I have a partner and threaten their children. I'm a really good person. I'm one of those really chilled out kind of people. Only occasionally split a woman's face and mean that she has to have stitches. That kind of nice guy. You know, the kind of not so nice guy. So the prosecutors alleged that Gurley had inflicted the fatal attack on his son and that he'd done that when he'd been alone with Robert. So they say that as far as they're concerned, he was the person who was completely by himself when Robert sustained those catastrophic injuries. Furthermore, they claim that Ian knew that Robert was being abused and that she kept it secret what was going on until it was too late. When you look at the history, her covering up the bruises, her not telling the medical services that could have saved him or helped him what was happening, she definitely was party to his death. On the 25th of October 2021, following a 14-day trial, and it's after actually nearly 4 hours of deliberation, not a lot of time, that. 4 hours of deliberation isn't huge. Clearly, they weren't struggling, shall we say, to reach some kind of verdict. Well, the jury come back and they unanimously find Gurley guilty of Robert's murder. And they also find Ian guilty of allowing his death. So both are given guilty verdicts. The sentencing takes place on the 26th of November 2021, and that hearing was at Liverpool Crown Court. Gurley actually faced the mandatory life sentence for murder, and he was sentenced by Judge Mrs. Justice Yip. And her job, of course, is to establish the minimum term that he has to serve, looking at those aggravating and mitigating circumstances and factors. Now, obviously, you don't need to be Sherlock Holmes to recognize the aggravating factors in this case. If you were to describe what vulnerable was and is, Robert would fit that perfectly. He's the very definition of vulnerable. This is because of his very young age, but also because of his disability. And another massively aggravating factor is the breach of trust. He died at the hands of someone who should have loved and protected him and cared for him. He was killed in his home where he should have been the safest. Also, aggravating factor is that it wasn't an isolated incident. He'd been assaulted before. He'd suffered physical and mental anguish from previous attacks. And that anguish would have caused, you know, significant injuries, including fractured ribs, which would have been incredibly painful. In his final days, he must have been in terrible pain. In mitigation, the judge accepted that the killing had not been premeditated. She noted that Gurley had lost his temper, as he had done on previous occasions, and taken out the frustrations on a helpless baby. However, it's also noted that at the end of the day, he knew that Robert wasn't safe around him, and he'd taken absolutely no steps to reduce that risk, such as the day that he actually killed his son. Instead of keeping him with him when his wife went to the shop, he could have actually sent the child with her, thus getting him out of the space where he could have been under threat. He chose not to do that. So he never made any attempts to reduce the risk towards his child. That said, it was clear to the judge that there wasn't an actual intention in that moment to kill Robert, but nevertheless, there was definitely an intention to cause really serious bodily harm. And of course, if you intend to cause really serious bodily harm, well, that's sufficient to bring a murder charge against you and to give you a sentence of murder. He viciously shook Robert. And by doing that, it meant both the judge and the jury concluded that that intention absolutely existed. When it came down to sentencing Ian, well, the judge recognised that she hadn't caused Robert's death, but it was clear that she'd allowed it. She did absolutely nothing to try and protect her son from Ghoulie. This is even when her son was seriously injured, she continued to do nothing. She didn't get him medical treatment. She didn't get any attention for him. Instead, she just took the steps to pretend that everything was all right and to cover his injuries. She even covered for her husband at every single opportunity. And in failing to take that action and by lying to the health workers and to the authorities, she effectively facilitated the violence that Ghoulie bestowed on Robert. So she was culpable. Now, during the trial, another thing that was really shockingly upsetting is that Ian even accepted that if they were struggling with Robert, her family would have provided protection for her and for him. At the end of the day, all she needed to do was to approach them and say, I'm struggling. And they would have either looked after her and her children, or they would have looked after Robert, whatever would have made the situation soothed. And she didn't do that. The judge also concluded that she had gone out of her way to exaggerate the fear that she had of her husband. So we know that Ian had tried to suggest that the reason that she hadn't acted was because she was terrified of the man that she was living with. And the judge said this was not the case. And in fact, that was also frustrating because they deal with domestic abuse situations constantly and women who have literally been petrified for their lives and put up with the most horrific circumstances and situations because of their terror, that Ian was trying to appropriate that for herself, and that was infuriating. So the judge said it was not a case where domestic abuse had resulted in her inaction. She said that whilst there was certainly evidence of verbal abuse, there was minimal evidence of physical abuse, and it certainly did not justify on any level the complete failure to protect or help her son. However, the judge also did take into account the fact that she had a previous good character. And furthermore, she said that while she didn't actually suffer from any mental illness, they did note that she was lacking in sophistication and maturity. So there was a naivety to some degree about who she was and the actions that followed. The judge also acknowledged that while she had failed to accept responsibility for her failings by pleading guilty, she had at least expressed regrets, and what that regret was that Ian said that she basically could have done more for Robert and that she should have done more for Robert. Now, according to a court-appointed medical expert, they said that she was suffering from adjustment disorder. Now, an adjustment disorder is typically a stress-related condition, and this, they said, was related to the fact that she hadn't fully accepted the death of her son. So she hadn't properly been able to start grieving for him. And she'd also lost custody of her daughter. Her daughter had been placed in foster care. So I think no matter what the circumstances are and how Ian has failed her son, clearly this would have been a majorly difficult experience for her to know that her whole world had crumbled and she'd even lost her little girl. The judge stated, the sad reality is both parents on occasions clearly did provide good care for Robert. The problem in this case is Mr. Ghoulie had a temper and Mrs. Ian did not protect Robert from that. I think that's an understatement with respect, genuinely do. I think it's trying to find the silver lining in their behavior is suggesting that on occasion they did provide good care. But it's like, you know, on occasion, Dennis Rader, BTK serial killer, then didn't murder his kids, you know? On occasion, Ted Bundy went home and didn't decapitate his partner. We could all, on occasion, be good people. The point is, what decides whether you are a good person or are not is whether you have actions that clearly demonstrate the goodness. On this occasion, we have a father who beat his baby up and killed him, and a mother who allowed it to happen. So I think Justice Yip is being kind at this moment in time. Just my personal opinion. But we're talking about a dead child. To me, it doesn't matter how good you are on occasion if you're that bad on occasion. Now, despite the mitigating factors that I've talked about where Eon was concerned, the seriousness of the offence that she was up for and being found guilty of, well, it still warranted a custodial sentence. So both of them ended up going to prison. So ultimately, Gooley was sentenced to life. That was with a minimum term of 20 years. And Eon was sentenced to 3 years. Neither of them displayed any emotion when they were jailed at all. Just kind of stoically accepted it. Now, after the trial, an investigating officer said this of Roberts. He had already fought for the first few months of his life with various health issues, only to suffer further and have his life cruelly taken away from him by the people who should have cared for him the most. Robert's wider family also released a statement. Bear in mind, Robert's wider family loved this child. They said this. The last few months have been incredibly difficult losing Robert so suddenly, without knowing the reasons why. We are all very shocked and we still haven't recovered from this shock yet. Especially now, we have found out what Robert went through. Robert was a beautiful, happy, content baby who was cruelly taken away from us in the place where he should have been protected and safe. From the bottom of our hearts, we hope that Robert can now finally rest in peace. Powerful words. I talked to you a little bit earlier about what killed Robert. So shaken baby syndrome, or abusive head trauma, to be honest, as it's medically known, it's a really serious form of child abuse because babies have got really weak necks. They've got muscles in the neck that aren't fully formed. They've got very soft brains and they've got incredibly delicate blood vessels. That means that they can't actually support the weight of their heads, which you'll know, which is why if you have a child, if you have a baby, you are taught how to hold them, or when you hold them, you make sure that you support their heads. It's just the way of ensuring that it doesn't roll backwards. It's just a natural for most of us to do it. But often people who go to antenatal classes, they'll be taught this because it's important to support that head. Now, if a baby is forcibly shaken, you will understand that that means that the heads move uncontrollably. And that also means the brain, it moves back and forth. And as it's moving back and forth, it's repeatedly hitting the inside of the skull. So that causes bruising, it causes swelling, and ultimately as well, in certain cases, it causes bleeding. So when you are shaking that baby, not only are you causing catastrophic impacts and clearly the potential of killing them, losing a life, it also actually destroys a child's brain cells. And the reason that it destroys the child's brain cells is because it prevents the brain from getting enough oxygen. That's why you'll hear in certain cases where somebody has shook a child, even though they've survived, that permanent brain damage has occurred. Or, as we were talking about in Robert's tragic case, it can result in death. And to put this in context with just how dangerous it is for a child to be shook, it can result, as in death, in 5 seconds. So if you are shaking a baby, just think about losing.
L-E-D-D-N-E-Z.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
And just feeling frustrated, feeling rageful, and then just grabbing that baby and just shaking it to be quiet. In 5 seconds, that child can be dead. Most cases of shaken baby syndrome involve babies that are just a few months old, and that's because in those first few months, babies tend to cry the most. You know, it's a way that they alert us to pain, to hunger, to frustration, to fear, all of those things, which means that the one level and line of communication is crying. But obviously, if you struggle with your temper, that's going to be the most dangerous time for the baby. The injury tends to occur when somebody shakes the baby out of frustration or anger. That's what the linear expectation is, that that's the result of the person having these feelings and then taking those feelings out on this innocent little child. And when the doctors talk about the injuries that they see, they say, well, yeah, it's equivalent to looking at somebody who's been in a high-speed car accident, which is horrifying. Like I said, we all appreciate how, at times, beautiful, innocent babies can be trying and exhausting and frustrating and upsetting and emotionally challenging. But to imagine picking that baby up and then violently shaking it to a point where its brain is hitting the baby's skull, causing catastrophic damage, it's unimaginable, isn't it? And like I said, those that survive often end up with life-changing disabilities. There are around 250 shaken baby prosecutions in the UK every year. In the US, the figure's more, it's about 1,500. According to the NSPCC, in the past decade, there's been around 300 confirmed injuries and deaths as a result of shaken baby syndrome. However, truthfully, the figure's believed to be much higher. This is considered the tip of the iceberg. And the reason for that? Well, the government hasn't actually kept official figures on the number of cases of injury to babies through shaking. I don't know why. Seems to me like it would be a really good idea to keep notes on these kind of issues to see whether they're increasing, and also so we get better at recognising these kind of concerns. Just me. I always think that recording things like a baby that's shaken potentially to death is probably a good idea. The case that I've highlighted today of Robert, it's tragic. He's become one of those statistics. You know, killed by the people who are going to protect him. Gulli has never accepted responsibility for what he did, by the way. He didn't in court, and he hasn't since. He hasn't shown remorse for various potential reasons. One could be that he is just a sadistic predator who likes to use violence to deal with his problems and struggles in the moment when he's facing things like not getting what he wants or dealing with high levels of frustration. Or it could be that he's just not willing to face what he did. So emotionally, he's not even willing to acknowledge the realities of his actions, because if he did that, the emotional pain would be so terrific for him that he wouldn't be able to cope. So he just avoids it completely. And of course, it could be that he just minimizes his actions by telling himself lie after lie after lie. I only hit him on the bottom and dropped him on the couch. And there's just been some horrible miscarriage of justice. Personally, I think it's a mix between one and three. I think his prior actions, the way he was around women, the violence towards women in front of children. And that was something he was entirely comfortable with. And also, I think he's constantly lied to himself and minimized his actions. Why? Because I think the one person that he cares about more than anybody else in the world is himself. He hates the fact that his freedom's been taken away. He's probably justified it to himself that his actions were completely in line with just being a stern father, and that there was just some kind of horrible accident that he had no way of telling would play out. What I do know is he's at least in the right place to have a while reflecting on those thoughts, just a minimum of 20 years, where you can get that in order and figure out whether you were minimizing or were overwhelmed or are just a massive predator. But repent at leisure and all that. Or don't repent, you're still in prison, mate. Like I said, today has been a tragic story because we're talking about the most vulnerable kind of individual losing their life. And also a child that didn't even get past 6 months. And that child was loved. You know, I'm sure that there were loving feelings, particularly regarding his mother, but the wider family absolutely loved him. He should have grown up experiencing what it was like to have a wide, loving family who embraced him, who would have helped him reach his potential, help him master his goals. Robert's never gonna get to go to school, have friendships. He's never gonna know what it's like to dance, to sing, to just have the unbridled fun that children experience. He's never gonna know what it's like to be accepted into a community of people who see his gifts, not his issues. And all of that should have played out for him. And because of the selfish actions of one man and also the culpability of one woman, that's never gonna happen. The obvious victim in this story is Robert. And also, it just tells us that story again and again and again, doesn't it? That sometimes the most vulnerable in our communities aren't just vulnerable because of their health issues, because of their disabilities, because of their economy. They're vulnerable because of the very people who are meant to make them feel safer than anybody else in the world, their parents. That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.